Wow. Let's let these guys know once again what a great job they did this morning. Awesome. Yeah, that was great. Some of those songs I know spoke to different ones of us at different points in our lives, and just really appreciate sound effects. Really appreciate everything that goes into doing music like that, the writing of the music and the performing of it. So awesome. Thank you. Let's hear it for these guys once again. That was just great. Yeah. Good job. Amen. I think we love music that we can kind of identify with, that kind of speaks to our hearts, don't we? That identifies with different points in our life. And some of the themes that came out in some of those songs, some of the themes of brokenness, lost trust, confusion, these are all things that we all, from time to time, we have faced in our lives. And Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he recognized that. One of the really insightful things that is said about Jesus, we read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, where it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. In other words, he cared about them. He hurt for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And this is where we are when we don't understand the meaning of life, when we don't understand our purpose, when we don't understand why we're here. Next Sunday, we're launching a six-week campaign called What on Earth Am I Here For? And we're going to be talking about that very thing. Why do I exist? Why has God made me? What is life about? And I want to encourage you to be a part of that campaign. You can sign up this morning. We'll give you more information later on about how to sign up to be in a small group. But every Sunday for those 6 weeks, I'll be talking about a different aspect, answering that question, why are we here? What is my life about? And then in the evenings, we have home groups. There'll be a DVD teaching followed by group discussion. And I want to encourage you, even if that's not usually your cup of tea, even if you're not usually a small group kind of person, I want to encourage you, what you invest in this is going to be well worth it. Because if you can answer that question, why am I here? What is my life about? I'm telling you, it's just going to make a huge difference. It's going to change everything in your life. So I want to encourage you to commit to being here on Sundays for the next six weeks. Service is at 10 o'clock, by the way. And then Sunday evenings for the small groups. And we've got 34 small groups that are going to be meeting all over the valley. So sign up for a small group this morning. Get involved. Be here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Jesus saw the crowds. He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, Jesus has the ability to see what others can't see. He's got this uncanny ability to look beyond what other people see. So most of us, maybe we would see a crowd of people, but Jesus sees the individuals in that crowd. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus sees you today. There's a crowd of people here, but I want you to know Jesus sees you. He knows you by name. He knows your life. He knows your story. And he loves you. He cares about you. And life can feel like this sometimes. It can feel confusing. We feel harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And we're not sure which way to turn as we look at the world around us. And we look at the global scene and all of the violence we see in our world, or we look at the economy that we've had for the last several years, or we look at the lack of morality and the direction of our country, and don't even get me started on politics, and we look at all these things, and we can feel so hopeless at times. But I thank God that Jesus Christ brings hope where there's no hope, amen? Where things just seem so bleak and dark, Jesus Christ comes and he brings life. Perhaps there's times in your life you kind of feel like this picture right here, and I'll let you read this sign and then let it. Okay, you got it? Runners move to the side of the road when a vehicle approaches, all right? Sometimes we feel like, man, if I stay on the road I'm on, I'm going to get hit by a truck. If I go to the right, the alligators are going to get me, right? Or perhaps you can identify this morning with this prayer. Dear Lord, so far I've had a great day. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But Lord, in a few minutes, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm really going to need your help. At Bethel Church, we have a conviction that the resurrection of Jesus is not merely a historical event, but it's also a spiritual reality. We believe in the historical event of Jesus rising from the dead 2,000 years ago, but we also believe that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still changing lives today. In fact, one of our members, Don Evans, this morning before the first service was reminding me that it was 18 years ago on Easter Sunday, I was there. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, and his life was forever changed, forever changed. This morning, at the end of my message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray a very simple prayer of faith if you've not done this. Jesus Christ will come into your life, and he will change you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is still changing lives today. Jesus said this in John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Now, Jesus said this about a week before he died on the cross. About a week before that, Jesus made this great claim, I am the resurrection and the life. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, it was the stamp of approval. It was confirmation that Jesus was who he said he was. Because if Jesus would have made a statement like this, would have said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and then died and stayed in the grave, we wouldn't still be talking about Jesus today, right? But Jesus made this incredible claim, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just claiming that he was going to rise from the dead, but also that in him there is life. I am the resurrection and the life, and that life is available to each and every one of us today. Another profound thing that Jesus said about himself, we find in John chapter 14, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we have to admit that at the very least, this is a very bold statement for somebody to make. Because I want you to notice here, Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus wasn't claiming to be one way of many ways. Jesus was claiming to be the way to the exclusion of every other way. And this really, boy, this really rubs people the wrong way, doesn't it? Because it's one thing to claim to have something, to be somebody, to be a way, but when you start claiming in our culture to be the way to the exclusion of other ways, that rubs people the wrong way. After all, we want to embrace everything, every belief. We want to coexist, right? We just want everybody to be right and to feel good about what they believe. But I thank God that Jesus Christ was never afraid to tell the truth, right? So he's not claiming to be a way of alongside many ways. He is claiming here to be the way. That kind of rubs us the wrong way because we like to be all inclusive. We also like, we don't like people telling us what we have to have, what we need to have. We don't want people telling us there's one way. We like options, don't we? We like choices in our culture. If you don't believe me, just stand at the order bar sometime at your local Starbucks. People like their choices, right? They want a grande, flat, with a dark roast, 200 degrees, half and half, with a little bit of foam on the top, right? We like it our way. We don't like to be told what we're supposed to do. We want options. And so there is, in many ways, what Jesus says here rubs us the wrong way. But listen, I am thankful because I know this. I want people in my life that will tell me the truth, even if it rubs me the wrong way. You know what I mean? I don't want people just telling me what I want to hear. I want people telling me the truth. Jesus is not a celebrity to be admired. He's a Savior to be followed. Jesus didn't come to try to win over popular opinion. Jesus came and he brought the truth and he said, I am the way, the only way to God. Now, why is that? Why is it that Jesus is the only way? Why would Jesus say, I am the way? Here's why. When Jesus said, I am the way, he was speaking the truth because it's only Jesus that addressed the number one problem we have in our lives. You know what the number one problem we have? The number one problem is not the economy. The number one problem is not even the direction of our culture. The number one problem is not politics. The number one problem is not violence. The number one problem in all of our lives is a very simple word, very small word, three-letter word called sin. Sin. When God looked at our world, he knew we didn't need another politician. We didn't need another philosopher. We didn't need another military leader. We didn't need a political leader. We didn't need a new government. Jesus looked at our lives and knew this. We needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. And it's only Jesus that can save us from our sins. This is why Jesus is the way. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is why Jesus is the way. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I read a story a few weeks ago that I thought was a pretty cool story. It's a baseball story. And it happened about 3 weeks ago in a spring training game between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Atlanta Braves. And one of the players for the Pittsburgh Pirates, an outfielder by the name of Danny Ortiz, was up to bat. And he took a big swing and he missed. And when he swung, the bat slipped out of his hands and it flew up into the stands. There it is right there. And you see there this kid, 8-year-old Landon Cunningham, that is about to get nailed in the face by this flying bat, right? And as you can see, he is totally clueless that he's about to get slobber knocked. He has no idea what's about to happen to him. And do you see why he has no idea what's about to happen to him? He's on his smartphone, okay? Now, to kind of stick up for the guy, I read the story, he was texting his mother. All right? That guy next to him is his dad. And his dad's first instinct when he saw that bat flying into the stands, his father's first instinct was not to protect himself. His father's first instinct was to protect his son. So he put his arm out there and he took the brunt of that flying bat. And friends, this is what Jesus has done for us. We had no idea that the judgment of God was against us. We had no idea that we had a huge problem. We had no idea that we were facing judgment one day. But Jesus Christ came into this world and he took the pain and punishment that we deserved. He took it upon himself so we didn't have to. Jesus stood in our place. He took the punishment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 says this, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. It's an amazing thing. He took our place. And so when Jesus says, I am the way, that's why. Because he is the one that took care of our sin problem. And so rather than seeing the statement of Jesus when he says, I am the way, rather than seeing it as some kind of arrogant statement, we need to see it for what it is. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. Jesus says, come to me. I'm the way. I want you to imagine with me I want you to imagine just for a minute with me that you're lost in a cave. Anybody here ever been lost in a cave before? Nobody? Right back here? Okay, we got a couple of people that are man enough to fess up. Okay. I've never been lost in a cave, but I can only imagine. I've been in a few caves, and I know I wouldn't like it very much, but I want you to imagine that you're lost in a cave, okay? You're taking the tour at the Oregon Caves, okay? You're taking the tour, but you're that guy that says, I am not going to go in the tour group like the rest of those suckers. I am going to be my own tour guide. And you decide, while the rest of the tour is going on their way, you decide, they're taking a right, you decide, I'm going to take a left. And you go off and you start exploring. And for a while, everything is great because you get to go where nobody else gets to go. And you're going through all these caverns and you're exploring and you're doing all these really cool things and it's all great. But then it dawns on you that it's been a couple hours and you should probably get back with the rest of the group. So you start looking around and then you take a right when you were supposed to take a left. And then you take a left when you were supposed to take a right. And then you wind up in a room and you go, I think I've been here before. And you realize you're going in circles. And finally, you have to admit to yourself that you are lost. So this goes on the rest of the day. You're searching all over. Now you're starting to panic. And then something happens. The lights go out. And you realize everybody's going home for the night. Now, not only are you lost in a cave, you're lost in a dark cave. Right? And now you're really panicked and you start feeling your way around. You're looking for some kind of hope and you're looking everywhere and you realize, man, I am so lost. And this goes on for another 3 or 4 hours now. You know it's the middle of the night and you're about to give up hope. I mean, it is cold, it is dark, and you are lost. And you sit down and you just give up. Then as you're sitting there, off in the distance, you see a little flicker of light bouncing off the walls of the cave. And that light's getting closer and closer. And finally, you start hearing footsteps and you start hollering. And a guy walks into the cave you're in. And he says, there you are. I've been looking everywhere for you. Here, let me show you the way. You see, this is Jesus. He is the way. So when Jesus says, I am the way, don't see it as Jesus being arrogant. See it as Jesus telling you the truth and Jesus giving you an invitation. The greatest invitation of all. He is the way. He is the way to light and life and hope and peace and joy and the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the way to all of that. And the truth is, friends, without Jesus, you will never find any of that. You can search the world high and low. You can try everything. You can try different experiences. You can try different religions. You can try different philosophies. You can try the party lifestyle. You can try to fill your life with all kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you this morning, without Jesus, your life is always going to be empty, because Jesus is the way. I was so blessed. I was so blessed to have a friend of mine when I was pretty young, a friend of mine that I played baseball with, that knew Jesus and told me about Jesus. And at a pretty young age, I found Jesus, and I've never looked back. He changed my life. He took me out of a pretty, pretty rough life, pretty bad home. And not only did he come into my life and change my life, one by one, all of my brothers, my sister, my parents, cousins, aunts and uncles, a whole lot of us came to Jesus. And it all started when just one friend of mine told me about Jesus, and I said yes to him. And I found Jesus is the way. He really is. So church, this is a great day because we celebrate that Jesus Christ died on a cross for us and he rose from the dead. That already makes it a great day. You know what would make it even a greater day? Make it even a greater day if you accepted Jesus' invitation to have eternal life, if you found him as the way. I'm going to ask everybody here to bow your heads with me if you do that. And I'm just asking you to do this, not because there's anything special about bowing your head and closing your eyes, but this is such an important time. It really is. Believe it or not, in moments like this, eternal decisions get made. People say no to Jesus. People say yes to Jesus. People say maybe later. And I want to invite you today to say yes to Jesus today. You might be thinking, well, I can do this later. I can take care of my spiritual business later on. Well, that might be true, but it might not be true. The scripture that I just read to you out of Hebrews, Jesus talks about the fact that he's coming back someday. And I just want to ask you, do you know that you're ready for when Jesus does come back? Because when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back to die on a cross again. When Jesus comes back, he's coming to take those that have received him to his paradise, but he's also coming back to bring judgment on this world. So I want to ask you in your heart of hearts, do you know that you're ready for that day? The Bible says we're all going to stand before God someday. When you die, when I die, it's not over. Oh, your physical life might be over, but your soul, the Bible says, lives forever and ever and ever. And it's going to spend eternity either in God's heaven or in a place that the Bible calls the lake of fire. One of those two places. And I want to ask you, just to be honest with yourself this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God? Have you found Jesus as the way? So with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. If you're here and today you want to give your life to Christ, this is why Jesus came. This is why he died on a cross. He died on a cross for you. Yeah, he loves you that much. He died on a cross for you. You say, Pastor Tim, I've done so much. I've walked away from God. I grew up in church, and then I walked away from God. I've walked away from the faith. I've done terrible things. And I'm sorry about all that, but I can tell you this. God hasn't stopped loving you. God hasn't stopped caring for you. And he still will forgive you. He will still change your life if you will invite him in. And so with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to give this invitation, and I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. But first, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to let me know by raising your hand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. Okay? I'll just count one, two, three. When I get to the number three, if you want to be included in this prayer, you want to make things right with God today, you want to put your faith in Jesus, I want to invite you just to raise your hand when I say three. You're just going to raise your hand up and you just say, Pastor Tim, I want to be included in this prayer. I know I need God in my life. I believe Jesus is real. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died on a cross for me. And I believe he's risen from the dead. And today, if you want to experience God's grace and God's love, I want to invite you to raise your hand when I say three. And then I'll lead everybody that raises their hand, I'll lead us all in a prayer together. So as I say three, you raise your hand up. This is your opportunity. This is the invitation that Jesus has given. I am the way. I am the way. So when I get to three, you raise your hand. You want to be included in this prayer. One, two, three. Yeah, God bless you. Hands all over this place this morning. Numbers of you. Yeah, God bless you. Just hold your hand up nice and high. Just leave it there for a moment. Yeah. Yeah. I want you to know, I see your hand right now, but I want you to know God sees your heart right now. He sees your heart right now. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. I believe you had an appointment with God. You might not have even known that, but God had an appointment with you today. I'm going to wait just another moment. Anybody else? Anybody else? I was just a young man when I made this decision. I want you to know you're never too young. You're never too young, and you're never too old for Jesus to come into your life. Any others this morning? Wait just another moment. All right, you guys can put your hands down. God bless you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Church, I'm going to ask you to pray along with those who have raised their hand this morning. And I'm just going to pray one phrase at a time. And as I'm praying, I want you to know God's hearing your prayer and God's going to answer your prayer right now. So pray along with me. Father in heaven, I know I need you in my life. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you've risen from the dead. God, please forgive me. Wash my sins away. And come into my life. This morning, God, I'm giving me to you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to pray right now for each individual that just prayed that prayer, God, with a sincere heart. I pray that even right now, God, they would experience your grace and love. God, that they would know that every sin that they have committed, God, is washed away. God, that their soul is completely clean right now, as if they've never sinned. God, I pray that they would know your love right now. God, I pray that you just put your loving arms around them. I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would establish them in your church family. Establish them in your word, God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, church, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. The angels of heaven rejoice when someone gives their life to Christ. And I think we just need to rejoice this morning. We just need to say thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There were several of you, many of you that raised your hand this morning, prayed that prayer along with me, maybe a couple of dozen. And I want to be the first one to just say welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Yeah. And I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. First of all, there's a card in the pew rack or the chair rack in front of you. It's pretty simple. If you just take a moment this morning and do me this favor and just take a moment and fill this card out. You just put your name, your address and phone number, a little bit of information, and then there's a place on the back where there's a little circle to check. I accepted Jesus for the first time, or I rededicated my life to Christ, whichever applies to you. If you could please take a moment and fill that out and check that circle on the back. And then in a moment, we're going to receive an offering. Just put that in the offering. That would be great, because I want to be praying for you this week. And I will do that, I promise you. If you'll fill out that card and put it in there, I'm going to be praying for you. Pastor Troy is going to come and he's going to tell you a little bit about some other steps that we'd like you to take too. Pastor Troy is our pastor of community life. I want you to welcome him this morning. Yeah. And Pastor Troy is going to tell you about a little bit about what on earth am I here for, how to get signed up for one of the groups, and we're also going to receive our offering this morning. So, Pastor Troy, take it.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. For those of you that made that decision to follow Christ this